Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Hello and welcome to the 66th episode of ToonCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your host, DFG on Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
How are you?
I am okay.
Just okay
because I've been outside all day working, so I'm a little bit worn out.
Ugh. I didn't be caught dead outside. Actually, I might if I go outside because, yeah, the heat will kill me. Today we're going to be talking about that lovable, laughable brat that always bugs Mr. Wilson, Dennis the Menace. I don't know if you posted it or if one of the other BVTA people posted it on Facebook about, asking if we want more news on voice actors and voice acting. Well, duh, it's a voice actor's website. I looked at that, and I was going to comment on the thing, and I look at it, I'm like, oh no, I better bite my tongue, because...
I've been telling them that they need to find one person that's just, like, all they do is just to add news to the site whenever they see stuff, or, you know, out searching for it. I mean, obviously, we're not paying anybody, so it's a little hard to do that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I voted right away. I'm like, yes, of course we need more news up there. Because actually, there's a lot of, you know, we have a way to... As an administrator, you have a way to view comments on different sections. Like, I can pull up, like, a TV show page, or TV shows in general, and I can see any comments that are made on any TV show for that day or for any day. And the news and voice compares always get the most comments, so it seems like common sense that, you know, news is what we need.
I went on a commenting spree the other day.
I saw that.
Well, I forget which one it was. Well, yeah, I know, but I forget which one it was. There was one that I commented on. I said you're missing something.
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't do Marvel or DC or whatever it was, so I didn't know. It was the chick from one of those comic book shows. It starts with an H, so that's all I can remember. Shoot.
That's
It's some chick from like Superman or Batman or one of those types of things.
Yeah.
I never comment back.
No, it was a Harley Quinn one. Yeah. There, you guys are missing Mia Sara, who actually was the actress that did her in Birds of Prey.
Gotcha. They should have saw that, and I'm assuming that they'll be looking for it.
Yeah.
I never comment back on it unless it's something that I did or something that I was involved with. But I am excited, though. I finally, after months and months and months of looking, I finally found a G.I. Joe, the Spy Troops movie online, and it is not anywhere on YouTube. There's never been a way for me to find those characters' pictures and screen cap them and get voice clips and everything like that. But I finally found a Spy Troops movie available to view in good quality, and it's in some like Japanese site or something, so you can't read anything on the page.
I know, I hate that.
You can't even read the DVD control, so I have no idea how to control anything, but you know, it's in English and it's showing it fine, so I screen capped all those last night, and I'm gonna be adding some more actors to G.I. Joe sound or voice compares here in the next little bit, so I was excited about that. I still can't find Valor versus Venom, but I found Spy Troops, and luckily most of the actors are the same in both of those.
I trying to think here.
Oh, and while you're thinking, I just added the G.I. Joe movie since I just bought it on DVD after searching for 4 stores to find it.
You said something about 10 stores on Facebook. You didn't
say. No, it was only 4 stores. I went to
Target. You said 10.
Target and Barnes & Noble and Toys R Us and Best Buy. And
I don't know why.
Just because those were on my way.
I don't know why you just didn't go to the Shout Factory website and just buy it from them. Of course, you'd have to wait to get it, but still.
I wanted it immediately, but I screen-capped every character on that, and now it's our largest cast for a movie on BTVA because it had 52 characters in it, so that spoke. Well, Snake Eyes didn't speak, but whatever.
Yeah. but now your Foot Locker set is complete.
Yep, damn right it is.
I still need to get that.
Now I have an empty DVD case that I'm just gonna, I guess, put on my shelf like it's there, act like there's a DVD in it.
See, that's the other thing. I don't understand why Shout themselves on their website wouldn't just offer
just a single DVD.
Well, not even that, but I mean, just because there's only one spot. I mean, it's useless getting the 2-disc edition of it because there's only one spot in the Foot Locker, right?
Right.
Right, so I don't understand why Shout Factory wouldn't offer like some sort of special of the
right, just
the single disc and say like a computer sleeve or slump or something.
Right,
you know, just
mail for cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't watched the special features on it, but I watched the movie and it does look very good. They did a good job of you know, whatever they did for restoration and whatnot. But I did not realize that Don Johnson was in G.I. Joe the movie. I did not realize that. He's a voice of Lieutenant Falcon
who makes
his first appearance in the G.I. Joe movie. He's only made one appearance in any series since then, but I did not realize it was Don Johnson, so that's crazy. And the other guy who's not in the G.I. Joe series but makes an appearance in the movie is Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
The Joker from the live-action Batman shows. He does the voice of Globulus. So,
well, first of all, you got that wrong.
What? Or what does he do? He does the Joker or the...
It wasn't the Joker was Cesar Romero.
Maybe it's a penguin.
Yeah, he was the penguin.
Yeah, but he's Globulus in G.I. Joe. That's all that matters. So that's what I've been doing recently.
Rest in peace, Burgess Meredith.
It's all about G.I. Joe lately at BTVA for me. That's all I got to say. I don't know if I ever mentioned it, though, but I did on air, but I did go through and screen cap every character from every Scooby-Doo TV series and every Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah, a lot of the Scooby-Doo movies will be covered 65 years in the future. And I'm not saying any more than that. as far as the original show, the Scooby-Doo Where Are You show, we will be covering that here on Tooncast. We will also be covering in that episode 13 Ghosts. So episode 77, which is 10 episodes from now, that'll be a pretty big, long episode. It won't be epic 4-hour long like He-Man, but it'll be over the hour mark that we usually hit or so.
Right. Combined with just TV shows and movies, there's been over 35 things for Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So it took a while, but every single one of them is at BTVA now with a full cast. some of the TV shows, I don't have, like, some of the recurring characters and whatnot, but all the movies, and it's funny to see which voice actors pop up again and again throughout the movies, but that's a topic for another day.
Yes.
Another year.
We actually talked with my buddy Mike Dodd, who does This Week in Geek and all that. I was on their first, I was on my first topic show for that podcast, and we were talking about Iron Man, but they did a segment beforehand shooting the shit with Sean, and they're friends with Sean Schemmel, who was one of the voices of Goku from Dragon Ball Z. And after Sean had done his little spiel, I linked them to the voice compare for Goku, just so they could see all the... I listened to some of those, and I'm not a DBZ fan or a Dragon Ball fan in general. It's just not a thing. But I listened to some of those, and me personally, I like Ian's version the best, Ian James Corlett. That's just how I feel.
It's funny you brought that name up, though, because Sean Schemmel made about... A couple months ago, we made about 8 different comments on our Facebook page, not on our actual site, but on our Facebook page about our site and the voice compares and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it was very, very nice comments. So that was cool.
Yeah. I don't know. And of course, if you go over to geekcastradio.com, if it doesn't come up immediately, you might have to refresh the page, but I've gotten Steve to now with the WordPress version that he uses or the website design that he uses. Originally, there's supposed to be a video part at the top of the site where you first see it. Mm-hmm. He's altered that to move it to the right, and we've gone through and gotten pictures with links to each of the sites that we kind of not really sponsor, but the sites that we're partnered with. So BVTA does have a little blurb over on our site. It basically links right to BVTA.
Yeah, I think I saw that the other day, and of course we still have a... our link up to the LaMarche interview on our front page. I think that's coming down eventually, but still up there for now. So
yeah, we'll have to get another one. I'm aiming for a certain something.
I saw something about that.
Well, no, I'm aiming for a couple of things. One of them is specifically for you and I to do, but I just have to make the call and get the information because there is no email address for that person's agent. Do we have anything else we want to bring up?
I think it's time for the devil.
So bring on the history lesson.
All right, episode 6-6. Oh no, just two sixes.
Just two, not three.
Devil the Menace. I mean, Dennis the Menace is an American animated series produced by, of course, Deke Entertainment, based on the comic strip by, I like this name, Hank Ketchum. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's how I want to say it. The young blonde boy with a colic and a mischievous personality, Dennis the Menace, gets into numerous scrapes and adventures with his dog, Ruff, and his friends, Joey, Margaret, Gina, Tommy, PB, and Jay. Oh, my God. Anyway, Dennis is an impulsive, angel-faced little devil. That's why I'm calling him devil, who is always getting into scrapes, whom end up tormenting his hapless next-door neighbor, of course, Mr. Wilson. Though, of course, Dennis always means well. Dennis finds himself involved in all kinds of wild adventures, some of which are fantasy-based, like the international espionage and trips into the past stories, but always manages to save the day. The series was originally aired on NBC in the U.S. Each half-hour show consists of 3 6- or 7-minute shorts. The show ran from 1986 to 1988, and the show was sponsored by General Mills. So, what do you remember about the cartoon? And of course, I think we're not going to be able to avoid making some comparisons between the cartoon and the live action show. So, what are your thoughts?
Oh no, we will so definitely talk about the film. I love this show. This is such a nice. This is such a departure from all of the action stuff that we watched in the 80s. It wasn't anything like the future Disney cartoons or the Turtles cartoons. It was a nice little thing. And poor Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. Did you watch this a lot as a kid?
I caught episodes here and there. I think mainly I caught them before school. Because that's the thing. When I was a kid, And, of course, you're only a year behind me, but when I was a kid, Transformers would air, G1 would air at like 6, 6.30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember, of course, over on NBC, Dennis the Menace would air. I believe Dennis would air at in the early morning hours before I went to school.
I think it kind of went through a similar thing to what Transformers did. I mean, obviously, Transformers originally was an afternoon show, but since it was syndicated, you know, eventually it was everywhere. And I think I remember seeing Transformers in the morning when it was on the Sci-Fi Channel later on. And I think Dennis the Menace did something similar where I think at first it was an afternoon type thing or even a Saturday thing. I don't remember if it was Saturday or afternoons, but then it got rebroadcast in mornings on different channels and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I always found it funny that he would constantly bug Mr. Wilson, or their schemes. The kids' schemes would always interfere with, like, say, Mr. Wilson trying to mow the lawn, or he's trying to water his flowers, or you know. And I thought that was really funny.
See, I don't remember watching the show too much as a kid. I remember seeing it. I mean, I have memories of watching it. I watched it at some point, but it wasn't something that, like we've said a lot of times, it wasn't something that I was going to, like, set my schedule around.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Around, it wasn't something that I was going to be excited to, oh, I got to be home by this time, or I got to, you know, whatever, so I can't miss Dennis the Menace. It was nothing like that. I watched it occasionally. I wasn't a big fan back in the day. I was a big fan of the original live-action TV show, Dennis the Menace, the black and white version. I don't know when that aired.
70s, I think it was in the 50s.
50s, somewhere back then.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that, and I liked the reruns of that, and I loved the characters in that, especially Mr. Wilson, the guy who played him, and the guy who played Dennis. And to me, the cartoon didn't compare to that, and I was a little disappointed in a way with the cartoon because I was hoping it would be more like that show, and I don't know, I'm not a big fan of this cartoon.
Wasn't the cartoon more based off the comic?
Yeah, it was, and that's probably why I liked the show better than the cartoon, I guess, because I wasn't a big fan of the comic either.
Yeah. I guess... and get into the characters and the voice actors here. You have Dennis Mitchell, who was the little devil boy, who is voiced by Brennan Thicke. And yes, that is Alan Thicke's son.
Yeah, it's Alan Thicke's son, and it's singer Robin Thicke's brother. Because Alan Thicke has two kids, Brennan Thicke and Robin Thicke, both of which have done stuff in showbiz, obviously, and then Brennan Thicke, the only other time I've ever seen him in any of our episodes is as Scott Tracker, Matt Tracker's son on the show Mask.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So Brennan Thicke had two lead roles in the 80s, apparently. Or not lead roles, but fairly popular roles.
Yeah. And then you have Henry Mitchell, who is the father to Dennis and Alice's husband, voiced by Phil Hartman in season 1 and by Maurice LaMarche in season 2. I remember seeing Henry. I don't remember which voice I like better. I think it's Phil's voice.
Yeah, don't call Henry most. Very well.
Well, see, the thing about this show is, first season had 65 episodes, And the second season only had 13, so I guess it was kind of dying.
Well, I think what happened is it went from a weekday to a Saturday.
Oh, that's why.
So 65 episodes was usually a weekday cartoon, 13 to, you know, something like that was a Saturday cartoon. But I just don't remember. I think the show was only able, like, they must have only had it in their budget to pay for 4 voice actors. because every character seems like it's voiced by 1 of 4 people. And obviously some of them, like Phil Hartman and Marisa Marsh, do a couple characters where they both switched out. But I just honestly don't remember seeing much. I remember Dennis, his character. I remember Mr. Wilson's character, obviously. And I remember some of the friends. I don't remember his parents much from the cartoon for some reason.
Yeah, well, his mother isn't so much in the cartoon. Alice isn't so much in the cartoon, maybe every now and then. Like, normally it would open up with... Episodes opened up in different ways. They would sometimes open up with, like, say, the Mitchells at breakfast. And you would see Henry and Alice and Dennis and Ruff, obviously. Ruff is the dog. That's pretty much all you would see of the parents, unless it was like a little epilogue after the adventure ended, okay. And maybe he needed to be scolded or something, or maybe they needed to teach him some sort of lesson kind of thing at the end before the episode ends. Again, I'm going off my very, very sketchy
memory
of the cartoon, so, but I do remember seeing the parents not, and again, the cartoon is more, it's more for Dennis versus Wilson,
or, right?
You know, Dennis versus Mr. Wilson. So,
right. So basically, besides Dennis and his parents, and obviously we all know Mr. Wilson's character. I mean, we don't need to necessarily describe that. He's just the neighbor who's always getting terrorized by Wilson. But some of the characters, maybe we can talk about that people wouldn't be familiar with are his friends. Obviously, you have Dennis or Mr. Wilson's wife, who actually enjoys Dennis' company, but...
Martha.
Which one of the friends do you remember the most? Or did you like the most, or...
Let's see.
I'll just go through a quick description of each one of them for the listeners. We got Joey McDonald, who's basically Dennis's best friend. We got Tommy Anderson, who's another best friend. Margaret Wade, who's basically Dennis's nemesis. Wow, that's hard to say. a goody-goody girl in the neighborhood. Gina Galati, Dennis's tomboyish yet warm and feminine friend. PB Kappa, who's the friend and resident genius and technology freak. And then Jay Weldon, who is Dennis's too tall friend who loves to play basketball. And you said PB?
Yeah, PB, because he reminds me. Well, of course, Donatello wasn't around yet, but when Turtles did come out, and I would watch this in between, because this ran from 86 to 88. And Turtles started in 87, so yeah, PB, because he kind of reminded me of Donatello, but he was more of a hold your nose up here, you know, kind of turn your nose up to other people. I mean, he was like some sort of super genius, but he was like that rich person type of, at least that's the way I remember the voice. I could be wrong.
That sounds right based on who's doing the voice. Basically, mm-hmm. All these characters are either voiced by Jeannie Elias, Marilyn Lightstone, Donna Christie, Louise Valance, and then of course Phil Hartman and Maurice LaMarche. But Marilyn Lightstone, which is the voice of PB, is most, in my mind, most recognizable as, you're not going to like this, but the character Crasher from Challenger the GoBots, which was, I know you don't like GoBots, but this is a pretty recognizable voice. Crasher was like the female bad GoBot.
And
that voice sounds familiar to what you're describing with PB.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she has just kind of that, I don't know, it's a very distinct voice.
I'm very surprised about one of these characters as far as the voice acting, because Ruff, the Mitchell's family dog, was not voiced by Frank Welker.
Yeah, it's the first dog I've seen that's not voiced by either Don Messick or Frank Welker.
It was voiced by Phil Hartman in season 1 and Maurice LaMarche in season 2.
It's funny, Henry Mitchell, George Wilson, and Ruff were all voiced by Phil Hartman and then Maurice LaMarche.
Yep.
So good thing that LaMarche could imitate all of Hartman's voices. Or sounds, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
But not a very big voice cast. Not besides LaMarche and Hartman, I mean, there's a lot of people that were into voice acting but don't have tons and tons of, you know, iconic credits, you know, to their credit. But yeah, a decent voice cast. Brendan Thicke, I forgot to mention, did get nominated for an award for his role on the show as a Young Artist Award or something for his voice acting. But very, very kind of unique voice cast on this show.
Yeah, it was. And again, it was one of those 80s. I mean, you know, I caught for the script, obviously people can't see this, but I copied and pasted the IMDb cast list, and all of the people that are listed in the cast on IMDb, that they're all listed as additional voices, and you just don't know. But
the weirdest thing about this show is usually once you get to the, I mean, you always have like your standard characters, which are assigned to, you know, a person, and then you have all your additional voices who don't usually get credit for individual character names. But usually in your additional voices, that's where you see all these different names pop up of people that you know. Because this is where the big-time famous voice actors show up in almost all. I mean, like, if you looked at Smurfs or something like that and looked at additional voices, yep, it's like a who's who of voice cast or voice actors. And the why I said this is unique is because none of the additional voices are people I've even heard of.
I know. I don't recognize any of them.
And I see a lot of voice actors' names every single day. And good Lord, I there's maybe one or two at the most that I recognize, and none of them are famous voice actors.
Nope.
And that's very weird to see on a show.
Yeah, it is.
So that's just a unique small main cast and unknown additional cast.
Yeah, what I was going to say about the main cast is, though, it's almost like the Transformers and G.I. Joe and Mask and Thundercats and Voltron syndrome of the 80s, where you have one or two people that can voice like three or four different voices. I was watching TFCon 2009's video of Dan Gilvezan, because he was at their convention last year. And, you know, he said, because he was talking about Transformers, he said that they would pay you for three characters.
Yep.
They would pay you the same amount for doing three separate characters. Well, not the same. They would pay you each amount for three. You get what I mean.
Yeah, they basically couldn't. They couldn't. Well, some shows or sometimes they couldn't do more than that, or they had to spread it out so you couldn't have, you know, so more people could have a job, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what this show suffers from, not really suffers from, but I think that's why this show you see so many people doing all the roles, right, is I think it was also a part of that era of voice
roles
acting.
In place and stuff like that during that time period.
Yes.
Yeah. I always wondered how much Frank Welker got paid for the Transformers, though. Did way more than three roles.
I don't know if he'll ever answer the question, but if we ever get an interview with him, you can ask him.
How did they figure the pay scale for him on Transformers? You did 800 characters, so we're just going to give you credit for three. All the rest you're going to be uncredited for.
Oh, that's so funny.
Before we leave the voice acting and the cast, I'm going to say something that's going to get me shot, but I hate saying this, but I really did not care for the voice acting of Mr. Wilson in this.
What?
I know it's Phil Hartman. I'd have to watch episodes to see if, you know, what LaMarche sounded like, but I was so attached to the voice of Mr. Wilson in the black and white show, the TV show, that this is not that voice, and for some reason that bugged me. I can handle the live action movie voice okay.
Let's not get into that just yet. We're gonna save that to the end of the show.
But I just, for some reason, in the actual cartoon, I don't care for how they voiced Mr. Wilson. I know I'm probably gonna get stuff thrown at me for that, but I just don't. Don't care for it. I do like Dennis, though. I do like his voice.
Blasphemy. Just blasphemy.
I know. This is episode 66, so I guess.
Yeah, that is true. This is episode 66.
I'm just kidding.
We have no production segment this week. The people directed it. People wrote for it. Didn't recognize a single person on the writing or the directing credits. The actual show, I guess we can go into that. It's pretty much Dennis's adventures and his, you know, always interfering with Mr. Wilson. Whether his adventure interrupts Mr. Wilson mowing the lawn or watering his flowers or baking a pie or taking a nap or starting his car. Whatever adventure the kids came up with, I'm sure it found some way to get into George's life.
Yeah. We should mention, I guess you were saying it to me off air, but basically there is no continuity in the actual show here. I mean, you're basically seeing, like many things in the 80s, it's one-shot stuff, and there's kind of like a formula that they're going to be following episode after episode after episode. I mean, obviously the stories are all different, but the gist of it's the same.
Yeah.
You know, it starts off something innocent. Dennis gets involved somehow, terrorizes Mr. Wilson, you know, even if he doesn't mean to or whatever, and ends up saving the day somehow in the end. I mean, basically, that's what you see every episode.
I thinking back on this show and thinking back about the rivalry between him and what's-her-face, Margaret, it's pretty much kid stuff.
Yeah.
I believe Dennis is supposed to be what, maybe 7 or 8,
something like that.
Around that age, 7, 8, maybe 9, and of course all 7, 8, 9 year olds. Nobody likes girls yet,
right?
Everybody has cooties. In boys' cases, we like building forts and we like doing
causing problems.
Huh?
Causing problems. We like getting into mischief.
Maybe you did. anyways.
Terrorizing people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it did add a little. I mean, the way that the show differs from other things about Dennis and Menace is, you know, the friends are basically the main difference here. And I guess if you're a kid watching it, you should be able to relate to it through the relationships that the different kids are having with each other, the rivalries, the likes, the dislikes, etc. But I just don't care for the show that much. Excellent.
So getting into the music segment here, I love this theme song. Don't ask me why, but just the music, the instrumental on the back of this theme song just kind of got me into the cartoon.
Yeah, the theme song's not bad on this. It's not one of my favorites, but it's definitely not. I wouldn't say it's a bad theme song.
Yeah.
It's a good theme song. It's a good theme song, just not one of my favorites. That's everything about the show for me is it's good, but just not one of my favorites. We got some familiar names, though, with the music.
Yes, we do.
Hey, we're not responsible for that sound effect.
What sound effect? That is no sound effect. That's real. What are you talking about? That wasn't manufactured by Diet Coke. yes, Power Rangers people, Shooky Levy and Ham Saban, did the series original music, which, honestly, this is one of those shows that there really is no series original music. I mean, every time you see, like say, Dennis doing his, like, maybe, like, a skateboard jump down the street or down the sidewalk, you hear the part of the theme song.
Yeah.
Like the dun-dun, you know, whatever that first, you know,
right.
Part of the theme song. Same thing with, you know, like say Beast Wars or what's another cartoon I can attribute?
A lot of them do that.
Mask, you know. So yeah. I guess getting into the legacy segment here, we have some home video on June 2nd, 1993. Holy crap! These four NTSC VHS tapes were released by CBS Fox Video. Dennis's Great Adventure, Animal Annex, Boys Will Be Boys, and Spies, Robbers, and Ghosts.
Basically, each one has about 4 or 5 episodes on it.
Yeah. And on March 18th, 2008, Fox Home Entertainment released a select 7-episode DVD entitled Dennis the Menace, Trouble, Trouble, Trouble Everywhere. And I think there was one too many troubles in that, but anyway.
That's right. There's one too many sixes in our numbers, too. Or one fewer six.
Yeah, one fewer six.
One more trouble, one fewer six.
Yeah, this DVD contains episodes Dennis in Venice, Mayan Mayhem, The Big Candied Apple, A Royal Pain, Dennis and the Kangaroo Cavalry, Dennis Plasters,
Pamplona,
and Black and Blue Hawaii. Okay, then.
So nothing as far as like seasons or nothing like a complete series, but you can get a couple episodes on DVD if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see much more than that.
I don't know. I would have to find out who the rights holder is. I know that there was an interview that Mike Dodd did over at This Week in Geek with one of the VPs over at Mill Creek Entertainment, and they, I believe, I'd have to go back and listen to the interview, but I believe this person said that they have a lot of the Deek library. Mm-hmm. So maybe Mill Creek will put out DVDs for Dennis. I don't know. Or put out more DVDs for Dennis. You know, if it does come to a complete series, you know, I think this is another one of those cartoons where you don't absolutely have to have it in your collection, but it would be a nice addition to a DVD collection, especially a cartoon collection. But it's not something, you know, it's not like Gummy Bears or Alvin and the Chipmunks or...
It's something that other ones are more important to have first.
Yes.
It's more important for you to add other to your collection before adding this one.
Yeah. we should just retitle this episode 666, because that's all you're giving me here is hate.
I'm sorry. It's just basically, this is my thoughts here. There's been multiple things based on this whole Dennis the Menace character, and I think the character's good. I think the whole idea between a young kid and a basically tormenting a next-door neighbor is an excellent idea. I can't believe it wasn't done more often. But, you know, we've had comic strips. We've had a live-action black-and-white TV show. We've had a cartoon, basically animated show. We've had movies, live-action movies or whatever you want to call those things. And we've had all these different incarnations of this Dennis the Menace character. And I just... For me, this isn't my favorite version out of all of those versions. If this was a show about the black and white live action TV show, you'd be getting only praise from me and no hate.
Well, but, see, that's the thing, though. There's one problem with that.
Not animated.
This is a cartoon podcast.
I know. So but in comparison, usually I like the cartoon version better than the live action version, but not in this situation. This is like having the Brady Bunch cartoon here. It can't compare to the live-action show, so it's going to be a failure, in my opinion.
There was a Brady Bunch cartoon?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Or having the Beatles cartoon, even though the Beatles aren't a live-action TV show. That's a rock group, and you can't have, you're just having a cartoon. You know, it's just like, it's that type of thing, where many times the cartoon does not live up to the live-action show.
Okay, so since we are in the legacy segment, I guess we'll bring up the live-action film, which starred, I forget what the little kid's name was that played Dennis, but starred Walter Matthau as Mr. Wilson and Christopher Lloyd as the villain.
Yes.
What did you think of Walter Matthau's portrayal of George Wilson?
I liked his portrayal of George Wilson, not as much as the black and white TV show, but I did like it better than the cartoon version of Mr. Wilson, just because they did pick the right guy. Out of all the people they could have picked to play that role, having one of the grumpy old men play it was a good idea, in my opinion. And I'm trying to think now. The name of the kid is Mason Gamble? I've never heard of him.
I don't have any idea.
The name of the kid back in the day was Jay North, just for the record. I have to throw that out there. It's all about back in the day for me today.
Yeah, no.
But I like Matthau in this, or in the film.
In the film, yeah. I think that they made the film a little bit too realistic. They pretty much made, and I don't know if this is because it was Walter Matthau, but just the things that Dennis got into in the film and the way he tortured Mr. Wilson in the film, I think was way too over the top.
Gotcha. I think everything about the movie was a little over the top for me, and that's one drawback from it. I think they did a good job of casting in the movie and whatnot, but yeah, I think you're right. Like, a lot of the times when they've been making these retro live-action movies, they've been going over the top. You know, like a lot of the stuff that we've seen lately.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we are going to go into some potential cross-promoting ads and maybe some other stuff. I don't know. And we will come back with the outro.
ToonCast will be back after these messages.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to ToonCast.
Do not be alarmed. This transmission is being jacked by the lunchroom. We are here to tell you that the lunchroom has been rebooted. It is now a part of the GeekCast Radio Network and is still available at thelunchroom.net. It debuts every Monday or Wednesday or whenever we see fit to give it to you. Any further information can be found at thelunchroom.net. We will now return you to your regular program.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of ToonCast coming this week.
Now back to ToonCast.
So, final thoughts on Dennis the Menace.
Well, you know my final thoughts. You know, it was what it was. It had its spot in the 80s, which is why we're talking about it. And I think Dennis the Menace as a character was worthy of having a cartoon made out of it. And it could have been worse, but in my opinion, it could have been better. There's too many other cartoons in the 80s that were this type of cartoon for me that I liked better. And what I mean this type, basically to me, as a kid, there was only basically two types of cartoons. There was the action adventure, you know, boy cartoons, and then there was the fun comedy type, you know, just overall friendly cartoons like Garfield or Heathcliff or Dennis the Menace or Gummy Bears or, you know, that type of cartoon. And to me, I would have rather watched most of those other ones rather than this. So,
you know, the thought just occurred to me the whole time we've been talking about this today, and you keep bringing up the original black and white television show. You know what you sound like? You sound like a hardcore G1 fan that keeps saying, I don't care if it's not G1, it doesn't matter.
No, because there's a lot of other things that I don't necessarily like the original as much, but this is one where the original it's the best. It's like Lassie. You can't redo Lassie and have it.
Well, and the other thing is you really can't. See, that's the thing. Like,
I deserve to have a cartoon.
What?
I think it deserved having a cartoon version. It's a good enough character and setting to have a cartoon version. It just doesn't equate to the original.
And the other thing is, you got to realize, much like, that's like comparing Superman the Animated Series to the old George Reeves live-action Superman.
I would probably like the cartoon better on that.
What?
I would probably like the cartoon version better on that.
Okay, well, but what I'm saying is, the point is,
they're so different.
The point is, one is a live-action television program in the 1960s. This is an animated cartoon in 1986.
Yeah.
Yes, there are comparisons. Yes, the characters are sort of the same. And, you know, I mean, there's still two different mediums. I mean, you know, we make constant comparisons between cartoons and live action films and stuff like that, or upcoming, like when we did the Alvin and the Chipmunks episode, we talked about, you know, the live action Chipmunks or CGI Chipmunks movies and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, there is a way to compare them, but I don't think, me personally, I don't think you can compare an original 50s, 60s television show to the cartoon counterpart, because you're constantly going to find either ways, good or bad, either way. But I don't know.
So if you had to put, I'm going to make you do it. If you had to put them in order, original black and white TV show, Dennis the Menace cartoon, Dennis the Menace live action movies, which one's the best and which one's the worst?
Well, seeing as how I've only seen maybe an episode and a half of the original 60s show, I would say it's just me. I know Kevin's gonna faint out or curse me out or do something. For me personally, because I had a connection to the cartoon, I would put the cartoon first. I would put the original TV show second, and I would put the film third.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I was about to send the devil after you since this is... episode, but I think that's legitimate, you know, especially if you have a connection to the cartoon. You know, I would obviously switch around the one and two, but as long as you were putting the movies last, I'm
Well, the other thing is that was there another movie after the first one? Because I don't.
I thought there was, but I'm not.
I mean, it might have been one of those direct-to-video things.
Yeah,
you know how
the movie came out in '93, I think.
Yeah, '93. You're right.
And I don't think it did good enough to. I don't know. There's like Dennis the Menace Strikes Again in '98, but I don't know what that was. It just says video.
It was probably a direct-to-video.
There was, of course, was another all-new Dennis the Menace TV series in '96. And then there's been another direct video of Dennis the Menace Christmas in 2007. So besides that other series, I don't think it's really had much else.
No. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. Or as always, get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, we actually have a new review since whenever it was the last time we talked about reviews. Fish86 says, fantastic. I'm a big fan. Thank you so much for re-exciting my love for my childhood. Well, you're welcome.
Yay.
I
also have to give a shout-out to someone who sent me a direct email. I don't remember ever giving the email out, but maybe they found it through, I don't know, through the GeekCast website or something like that. But basically they said they were up through episode 7 so far, and they want me to have my own show. Glenn Hibbert, I'm giving a shout-out to him for the positive comments he sent me. But at least he's listening, you know, up through episode 7. I hope he keeps listening.
Yeah. And I will say that the audio quality does get better over time.
Yes. We've been ironing out the kinks.
Yes. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRNTuneCast. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
Oh, it's BossKDAWG.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. It is back. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on the USA Cartoon Express. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo, Kevin Thompson from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yes, and we will be giving Kevin his own show at some point. he will be running it, and I'll probably just be in the background because, yeah, I'm getting tired of running all these damn shows. Anyways, we'll see you next time, folks. All aboard the Cartoon Express, the USA Cartoon Express. Traveling east and heading west, it's a great big call at Cartoon Fest. I'm Hudson here. You're in to me. It's time for cartoons right now, right here. Where pony heads keep things right on track. Famous cartoon stars riding in back. Hop on board for the daily run. Animals, cartoony kind of fun. Action, adventure, and all the rest on the USA Cartoon Express.